I think we all know each other, so we're gonna forego introductions.
Let's make sure everybody signs in.
Yeah.
The minutes are attached. Any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
I'll second it.
Seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Item number three, potential STIP projects. Ian Horlicker, and he's not here, so is Dan doing it, or are we skipping this agenda?
Oh, we sent out a amended, Ian is not here, so we're not doing this.
They canceled this one so many times, I can't remember which one is which, so I apologize. Item number four, public participation plan for the Monroe MPO. Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We brought this to you last month. I went through it. We have received no comments back, and so this is still the same. So today we're just looking for a recommendation with the policy committee on to approve this plan.
Any questions of Ryan on the plan that have not been voiced thus far? That I will entertain a motion to recommend it to the policy committee for approval.
I would move that we recommend the public participation plan revisions to the policy committee.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. How are we doing on time, Scott? We doing all right?
Oh, yeah, man, we're flying through this thing. Perfect.
All right, performance measures for transit. Now you got to pay attention.
Okay.
All right, so both JCT and RVTD are Tier 2 systems, and they will be awaiting the final draft of the state plan. I looked it up this morning, and this was their little subparagraph in their plan, the last sentence of which says, a detailed listing of all capital assets included in this plan are located in Appendix A. Here is Appendix A.
Oh, they made some progress.
Well, that is pretty complete.
So, given the fact that they have set targets, they have not specified the particular agencies, what I would propose is that we have a recommendation going to the policy board that we support whatever targets and performance measures are adopted by JCT.
Yeah, I'll just add on to that. Basically, I'm not gonna do our own plan. We're gonna adopt the state plan. So we're kind of at their mercy. We've submitted all of our vehicles and conditions and mileage and things like that. So the last I heard is that the state was going to start with the Federal Transit Administration's useful life guidelines for a vehicle, but they're allowed to go a percentage beyond that. So they're saying, you know, as long as 80% of your fleet is within this certain condition, but I don't know where they're going to go or where they're going to set that target. I have a feeling they're going to wait to see what the vehicle condition is across the state, and then assess it and then set the target.
Well, they have set targets overall. Rolling stock is anywhere from 20% to 40% that meet or exceed their useful life benchmark. Facilities 10%, but what we've been told is that for the agencies, for you and for RVTD, they're going to come up with numbers for you.
They are,
and they were meant to publish those numbers, which is why I looked today to make sure that I'm not missing anything, because to date they have not published any numbers.
Yeah, and they have,
but
not.
Since you guys are going to be pretty much adopting the states.
Correct.
And MPOs are meant to work in coordination with the local transit agencies to adopt their own. Again, I propose that we just recommend to the policy board we support.
Well, but I guess the only struggle I have with that is if we don't know what they're doing, and if they come out with something really stupid that Scott says, whoa, 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 I can't support these, and we've already said, yeah, we're going to adopt whatever they do, that...
Well, we'll adopt whatever JCT does.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll support whatever JCT adopts.
I mean, that works for me, because the bottom line is, on this item, we're all going to look at Scott and say, does this work? If he says yes, we're going to agree with him. If it says no.
Right, we're not going to set our own targets. And the rock and the hard place, we're already facing it at RVMPO, because they decided to delay until November. The deadline for all MPOs is November 19th. Mm-hmm. My board doesn't meet until the
27th.
So we're going to be a little bit behind, but I've been talking to ODOT and FTA and FHWA, and they're going to let us go along with that. But this board meets before that deadline. So if we and this is the last performance measure. They've already taken care of all the others.
So Carl, I guess the struggle I'm having is you're kind of asking us to approve a measure that hasn't been set yet.
Yes.
And I think if you ask the policy committee to do that, they're going to laugh at you.
Yes, I fully expect to have Darren mm-hmm. not enjoy this.
Well, so why do we have to do it?
Because if we don't, the TIP will not be in compliance, and the RTP will not be in compliance, and no further amendments will be allowed to go forward.
But, well, and I hear what you're saying, but so the TIP will be in compliance if we say our performance measure is something that somebody else is going to develop someday?
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
So the language in the regulations regarding this issue for MPOs, it states that MPOs must work in coordination with the local transit district, transit agency, to develop targets. And with only one exception in the state, that is a relatively straightforward case. Most of the small transit agencies are adopting the states and moving forward. Salem is doing their own, but they're doing it with the transit agency. The only agency MPO that's going to have some difficulty is Metro, because they have five transit agencies and they are not allowed to adopt five separate targets, one for each agency. They are required, according to the last workshop we dealt with, to come up with a regional target. I don't know how they're going to do that. But for us, I've been told by ODOT, if we agree that we will support the local agency's targets and goals, we are in compliance. Even though we have no idea what those targets and goals are right now.
So, Scott, what are your options if the targets that they do come out really don't fit your operating parameters?
I can't see them coming up with targets that don't fit what we do now, because I've been pretty proactive in making sure that we're turning our fleet over quick enough. There's a few exceptions to that, but now I'm getting on top of it. So they would have to do something really weird.
And if you looked at all the other statewide targets, they've really set the bar pretty low.
Yeah, I have a feeling they'll set the bar pretty low, and we're pretty high above that right now. So I'd be okay.
When's the next time we can revisit this? Let's say
that. Actually, in January, the state is going to revise, probably revise. They have to review their targets. And again, we're going to keep, as far as the MPO, I don't want to keep going back and changing our language. So by just stating the fact that we support the local agency's targets, we don't have to change any verbiage. They, on the other hand, depending on how they do it, might have to, on an annual or biannual basis, change the language in their plan or in their resolution or whatever.
At what point does ODOT actually have to get this done before they really made somebody mad? Because they've been saying they were going to get it.
Our deadline is November 19th. It was actually October 31st.
Right.
But they said, we'll give you till November 19th. And for RV, we're going to go a little bit beyond that.
Okay.
And these performance measures are like the other ones that we did before. If we don't meet them, nothing.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Yes. There's nothing in the law that yes. Now, for
it helps me.
For transit, it's a little different because the state, it looks like a lot of this stuff, especially for STIF and things, they're going to be paying attention to this. So it might affect their funding. For the MPOs, it has no effect whatsoever.
I think it would help me get more funding.
Yeah.
If your fleet is approaching obsolescence based on the target, I would agree.
Well,
I guess I also am concerned because and only because what I keep hearing you say is that what we're adopting is supporting Scott's goals.
Right.
What you're asking for here is adoption of ODOT's targets.
Where?
On item 5.
Yeah, it just says adoption of the ODOT targets of equipment, rolling stock, infrastructure, and facilities. I mean, you could...
Yeah, I would change that. Adoption of or support for the JCT's targets as or targets and for these as set by JCT. That's the motion I'm looking for.
I can take a stab at it.
Go for it.
If everyone's ready, I'll propose that we forward the performance measures to the policy committee for adoption of ODOT's targets with concurrence from JCT on equipment, rolling stock, infrastructure, facility.
I would just say adoption of JCT's targets.
Right.
That allows you the option to adopt ODOT's, and by default we've adopted ODOT's, but if you modify yours in any way, shape, or form, we don't have to come back and change ours.
Okay, I'll modify my motion to say adoption of JCT's targets for equipment, rolling stock, infrastructure, and facilities.
We have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, seconded by Dan. Any discussion on this item? Any further discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Unanimous. Jump scout.
All right. Got it down.
Item number 6, the 2018-2021 MPO Transportation Improvement Program Amendments. Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Item number 6 in the agenda.
This was the amendment that was tabled last month and is being brought back. It sounds like Scott has gotten...
Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Nothing happened. So basically, bringing it back, I understood... I got some clarification of what ODOT was doing, and there was just some miscommunication, but I think in order to clear this up, it would be best to just move ahead with this new project, and we'll use this in combination with one other key number that was already approved and move forward with the bus purchase.
So these were funds that you applied for, correct?
Yes, these are funds that have been awarded to us, but the problem is I already had key numbers to cover all the funds, as well as there was an additional TIP amendment made a while back specifically for the CMAQ electric vehicles. And ODOT Public Transit wasn't paying attention to that. So they crafted their own, and that's where we're at now. So combination between what's existing and this one right here, it covers our four vehicle purchase.
I had talked to the state and said, once we approve this from the policy committee, clean it up, we can do an administrative amendment. I won't have to bring it back, and we'll combine those keys to make it cleaner for Scott. So,
yeah, that it works for me. And the funny part was is this is for the replacement of four mass transit vehicles. And ODOT covered two diesel and a small portion of the electric vehicle purchase. And that's what they were looking at as the entire thing, which is why none of the dollar amounts matched up. But like I said, they were unaware that we had already had another TIP amendment for the two electric vehicles for the entire amount.
And those were CMAQ.
Right.
Right.
Right. So they just didn't see that, and they just made their own. It was somewhat inaccurate, but in the effort to be as expedient, we'll just do it this way, and then we'll clean it up later. Because there's... I had a vehicle purchase every year since 2017. So if you kept adding those up and put them together, it was enough to fund the entire purchase. But they didn't see that either. So we're doing it this way.
Anything we can do to help streamline or clear that up? Because that seems, and it's not just you. We had the same issue with RVTD. They didn't know what the amendment was for.
Yeah, it's, I think it's just nothing against ODOT Rail and Public Transit. I just think it is what it is now. I think in the future it'll probably kind of stop. I understand what they're doing. They're trying to help me out. But, you know, yeah, we have our own MPO here, you know, so it's, we take care of this at the local level, and not a lot of agencies do that are buying vehicles through this process. So I think it just it is what it is, and in the future it'll stop.
Okay. Any further discussion on this item? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we recommend the approval of the TIF amendment to the policy committee.
Do we have a second?
I'd second that.
Seconded by Jason. All right. Any discussion on it? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Public comment? None. Updates on active MPO projects. So the last attachment is the list. So, yep. We just did this last month. I just am going to ask a general question. Does anybody have any updates on any of these projects?
I do.
Okay.
Good. Finally did it.
That's why.
Can we buy some buses?
Yeah. Finally did it. So I think it was last week I had the county commissioner sign up a PO for the purchase of 2 electric vehicles. So it's going. We went with Complete Coachworks, which is down in Riverside, California. They're not brand new buses. They're rehab buses that they take down to the frame and completely rebuild them. It's similar to a vehicle that we had here and tested last year. So
I was going to say, you talked to us about this before, right?
Yeah, and that's who I ended up going with finally. And about the only new exciting part, other than this, you know, being such a small agency purchasing electric buses, is I'm still working on the charging system. And I think what we're going to do is they make an inductive charging system for slow charge. So all you have to do is pull the bus over the inductive loop charger, right, exactly, and it will charge. That way we don't have to worry about plugging in or out things, and we'll see how that goes. So
like putting your iPhone on one of those pads.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's a smart charge system, so we can do things like in the winter we can actually heat the bus up while it's still sitting there on the charger. So that way it's not reducing power. Same thing in the summertime we can set the air conditioner, exactly. So I'm pretty happy about this. We can go a full day on each vehicle, so we'll be purchasing 2 and we'll see what happens.
Just to remind you, we have $4.5 million.
I'm ready. I'm gonna get these probably by May or June, and I'm already looking at other vehicles and other vehicle types. Currently, I think I have 6 demand response or smaller vehicles that are beyond their useful life.
I'm wondering, and I'll check, but the charging stations might also be eligible for CMAQ.
I'm pretty sure they are, because most of this, any support infrastructure that you use required to put the vehicle in revenue service, you can put that on there too.
I always get this screwed up. So CMAQ can be used for bus replacement. Mm-hmm. But it cannot be used for bus operation.
Yes, it can for 3 years as a demonstration project.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Like the grants.
Right. That's exactly right.
The commuter line.
Yep. Okay. So we are good to go. I'm looking into, like I said, smaller vehicles that we can also put into service. Typically, nobody's been making them yet. But yeah, I'm looking at purchasing more. I don't know if I'll stay with the same kind or not. But I did this because.
How much did they end up costing?
A little over $700,000 a piece. Awesome. So a normal diesel bus is going to cost me about $390,000. This was about $300,000, a little over more.
And how does that pencil out as far as where you're, you know, because for the savings and fuel and everything, mm-hmm. is it year 5, year 10? How does that pencil out?
So it's a 12-year useful life, and if you look at the actual cash out of my department, that has to be increased to cover the cost of the vehicle. All it is the local match. So if you look at the local match, I will easily recoup that cost in the fuel savings. So the cost of fuel savings from diesel to electric. If you look at the entire cost, the $300,000+, I'm anticipating I will recuperate that based on fuel and maintenance reduction. So there's quite a savings in maintenance because there's no oil changes anymore. There's no replacement parts on that fueling system, cooling system, all those things are gone. So there's about 30 to 40% less moving parts in an electric vehicle. So agencies that have gone through this far enough are saying that, yeah, they're looking at getting anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000 savings per vehicle per life cycle.
And the power cost per mile is...
I don't remember that off the top of my head. It's okay. About, it's, I'm looking to save probably anywhere, I'm narrowing at about $600 to $700 savings a month in reduced cost from diesel to electricity. So there's some other things that'll play out in that in terms of what the power company's charging me off peak and things like that. But yeah, I definitely think it's there.
Interesting.
Other agencies have seen it's there. I'm confident enough to say, yeah, I'm ready to roll the dice here, and we did.
It'd be interesting to see how that turns out.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Just curious, the battery life expected for that full 12 years, or is there an anticipated replacement?
No, no one will guarantee anything. They warranty the battery right now for 2 years. Some companies will lease you the battery pack. You buy the bus, you lease the battery, and the reason is because you swap it out. No one's actually ran them long enough to see. So there was another agency that I think they've been running 7 or 8 years, and their battery integrity was still about 80%. They say once it gets to about 70%, you can't run them anymore. So we'll
that's
see.
That's why you got a whole bunch of used Teslas on the market.
Right. So we'll see what happens. The other thing is there is quite a healthy secondary market for used battery packs. And the reason is because the transit, from a transit application, we can degrade them to about 70%. They're no longer any good to operate the bus, but that doesn't mean the battery's not any good anymore. So other agencies are buying those batteries to store power. So they'll take solar power and store it into those battery packs and reuse them that way. And that's why these agencies or the companies are willing to lease the batteries, because they know they'll take them back and sell them to some other use. It's not a transit use. So we'll see. Like I said, there's a lot of big unknowns, but I think I've looked at it long and hard enough that I'm willing to move past those unknowns.
I think it's cool that you're doing this ahead of RBTD. I kind of like that. But who's the nearest person or the nearest provider? Is that Eugene, Portland? Who's the closest to?
Eugene has three or five, I can't remember what they ended up with, and they will not put them in service. And the reason they won't put them in service is they've had such mechanical problems with them. They bought from a company called Build Your Dreams. They're out of China. They're moving here to meet the Buy American requirements. So Eugene has them. They're not going to ever put them in service. They're just testing them.
I thought Salem just put in a major order. Is it Salem or
Corvallis? No, Wilsonville. Wilsonville is the one that put one in about a year ago. They put in for one. So they put in one from Proterra. Now, the other agency is TriMet. Now, TriMet, I thought, put in an order for a lot.
Who runs Chariots?
Salem.
Yeah, I think Salem put in a major order for electric buses.
Yeah, I didn't see that yet. So if they did, it hasn't hit my little round of things. But anyway, if you go through a normal manufacturer, you're looking at... Proterra is who you're going to buy them from. You're probably looking at 16 months. That's from the time of order, and if you get it in right. So I'll have mine before that. So in all reality, we will be either the first or the second to operate electric buses in service.
Sweet.
Not just have them. We'll put them in on the route. So pretty crazy if you think about it.
Okay. Nice.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Yep.
Any other updates on MDO projects?
Okay. Salem is getting them. They're expected to be online in 2019 or 20.
What did they get?
Yeah, I thought so.
Chariots gets $2.5 million from U.S. Transportation Department for eco-friendly buses. Yeah, it doesn't say much beyond that, just that...
I thought it was anywhere between 10 and 12 electric buses.
$2.5 million. So
they're looking about...
bigger.
They said two. It was a massive order.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
Okay, thank you. MPO planning update, Carl.
One thing, and if you go to the COG meetings, I have to talk to Michael about this. One of the bills that's going to be introduced this year deals with transportation network companies, Lyft and Uber and stuff. One of the issues at a lot of the conferences lately have been how this is going to play out in the local jurisdictions, the impact on the road network and all this stuff. The assumption basically is that most of these are going to be automated vehicles. And therefore, for the ones that don't actually have passengers, you're going to have what are called zombie vehicles, just traveling around your town.
Waiting to pick something.
Right. And therefore, VMT and congestion will increase dramatically. So the initiative, the discussion has been over how can local jurisdictions monetize this to help assuage or pay for this new congestion. And it's looking at monetizing the curbside parking or sidewalks if you have scooters and so on and so forth. This draft bill will not let you do that. This draft bill is to regulate such carriers at only the state level. So local governments will not be allowed to do anything of that nature. That's one of the things that's coming. And I spoke to Mike because I thought this was more relative to the COG than it was to the MPO because it involves all the local jurisdictions. Another thing, and John's aware of this, there apparently will be an initiative this year to put in legislation for greenhouse gas reductions through a cap and trade, cap and invest program. We have been told, and now it's, the guy's name is Randy, he's a lobbyist for Metro. He was informing the OMPOC meeting last week about this. They expect it'll be based on the bill that was submitted last year, the Senate Bill 1507. I've read through that, and in that bill, if it does go through in the similar language, there might be additional monies for local MPOs to plan for means by which greenhouse gas reductions can occur. This is tied loosely, and to my knowledge, I still haven't figured out how or why. We were moving forward with the transportation planning rule changes all of this year. There have been multiple meetings over it. The commission, the DLCD staff delayed taking it to their commission. They were going to take it in May. They decided to wait till July. Then they were going to take it in September. And they got a letter from Metro and from Portland basically saying, we don't like these rules, please put this on hold until the legislative session is over. And their argument was that because this greenhouse gas cap and trade bill, some kind of legislation will go through, it's going to impact the TPR. I have seen nothing in the legislation that makes that connection. And it's of note that at the last OMPOC meeting this past Friday, every single MPO, with the exception of Metro, was actually supporting the changes to the TPR. So, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. We'll track it. We've signed up at the COG for a thing called Bill Tracker for Oregon and for the Fed so that we can track bills as they're submitted and going through committee and everything else. And as that occurs, I'll keep you up to speed.
Okay. That it?
Yes.
Okay. Updates from local jurisdictions. Item number 10. Anything else that we haven't discussed thus far that we need to discuss or inform each other of? All right. Seeing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Good job.